Good morning, guys. There are a few of you out there. Cool. My name's Sarah. I'm actually the youth pastor here. So I will say that the average age of the crowd is a little bit older than what I'm used to. That's fine, though. So we're just going to go right into this movie. This movie is called Hidden Figures, and it is a movie about, actually, it's about three influential women during the civil rights movement who worked for NASA as computers. So they were mathematicians. But today we're actually going to focus on the life of just one of them. Her name is Katherine Johnson. So enjoy your popcorn for breakfast and watch this.
'14, '15, '16, '18, '20, '21, '22.
West Virginia Collegiate Institute is the best school for Negroes in the state.
It's the only school past the 8th grade anywhere near here.
Isosceles, scalene, equilateral, rhombus, trapezoid.
Catherine's in the 6th grade.
They want to take her early.
Tetrahedron, dodecahedron.
They're offering a full scholarship. All you have to do is get there.
Miss Coleman, why don't you solve the equation on the board?
We took up a collection amongst the teachers and such. It's not a lot, but it's enough to help get you settled in.
That's more than kind, Miss Solomon.
If the product of two terms is zero, then common sense says at least one of the two terms has to be zero to start with. So if you move all the terms over to one side, you can put the quadratics into a form that can be factored, allowing that side of the equation to equal zero. Once you've done that, it's pretty straightforward from there.
In all my years of teaching, I have never seen a mind like the one your daughter has.
Catherine!
Hurry on now, love!
You have to go.
Let Mama tip me in.
You have to see what she becomes.
Today, we're going to use the true story of the life of Katherine Johnson to talk about this idea of purpose. Oftentimes, we struggle to find purpose in life, our calling, what God wants us to do with the tools and the talents that we've been given. I believe we are all created on purpose, for a purpose, by a God who loves us. He created each one of us with a certain set of skills and talents and gifts, and he wants us to use them according to his will. From an early age, Katherine knew that math would be her calling, and that she would use her skills to do something powerful. In the movie, we fast forward to 1961, where we see that she's working for NASA, and she was asked to be a computer for the NASA Space Task Group. These guys were in charge of the calculations and the brain power behind sending the first man to the moon. Katherine was a mathematical genius, and for her, it was more than just a job. However, she did face some obstacles and setbacks while she was doing what she was created to do. Remember that during the time that she worked at NASA, the civil rights movement was happening, and segregation was still the norm. Let's see what Katherine's work environment was like back then.
Skirts must be worn past the knee. Sweaters are preferred to blouses. No jewelry. A simple pearl necklace is the exception. Your supervisor is Mr. Al Harrison, director of the Space Task Group. You'll write research, proof calculation, and so forth. Do not talk to Mr. Harrison unless he talks to you. Not many computers last more than a few days. He's been through a dozen in as many months. Come on, keep up. Things move fast around here. Your clearance. They've never had a colored in here before, Katherine. Don't embarrass me.
office wasn't emptied last night.
I'm sorry, I'm not the custodian. Excuse me, ma'am. Mr. Harrison's computer reporting.
Take the desk in the back. I'll get you work in a bit. Mr. Harrison won't warm up to you. Don't expect it. Do your work. Keep your head down.
Thank you.
Go on. Get settled.
Paul? Why are we still losing shingles off the heat shield?
We're working with a prototype of the capsule, Al. It's lit as one-third the size.
I get that. So what do we do with our million-dollar fan, Carl? Turn it down?
No, Al, I don't think...
It was a joke. Paul, if the heat shield comes off, what do you think happens to our astronaut?
I know.
So we're gonna come up with a solve, right?
Yes, sir. We're working on it.
Ruth, what's the status on that computer?
She's right behind you, Mr. Harrison.
Does she handle analytic geometry?
Absolutely. And she speaks.
Yes, sir, I do.
Which one?
Both. Geometry and speaking.
Ruth, get me the... You think you can find me the Frenet frame for this data? Using the Gram-Schmidt...
Orthogonalization algorithm? Yes, sir. I prefer it over Euclidean coordinates.
Okay, good. Good, then I'm going to need it by the end of the day.
Yes.
And I'm also going to ask you to check Mr. Stafford's math as well as others on this floor from time to time.
I can handle that, Al.
I'm sure you can, Paul. I'm sure they all can. But if that were the case, shingles wouldn't be flying off the heat shield now, would they?
My numbers are spot on.
I will double check them, sir. No problem. I'm not going to be able to...
Work on what you can read. The rest is classified. You don't have clearance.
Excuse me. May I ask where the ladies' room is?
Sorry, I have no idea where your bathroom is. Yes, sir.
I don't want no fear.
My God, where have you been? Are you finished yet?
Almost. He said by the end of the day.
The end of the day around here was yesterday.
I need those done first.
He wants those done first.
Okay.
Get going.
I'm sorry about that. Somebody's working on it.
As you can see, Catherine's work conditions weren't ideal. Not only was she a woman, but she was also African American. In spite of that, she kept working. She knew she was created to do math and to work hard to help NASA with their mission. She didn't give up. In fact, she went down in history as one of the most influential women in space exploration. So what about you? Is there something in life that you were created to do? Are you letting something stand in the way of becoming who you were created to be? We are all created to be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. The closer we get to Him, the closer we are to our purpose, because He will show us who we need to be. Of course, it looks different for all of us. Maybe for you, God's calling you to start the journey out of debt. Maybe He's calling you to step out and start your own business of some sort. Maybe He's calling you to go back to school and finish that degree. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, it will be worth the hardships you might face along the way. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is telling His disciples, "I have told you all this so you will have peace in me. Here on earth, you will face many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." In this conversation with His disciples, Jesus didn't say, "if you have trials and sorrows." He said, "there will be trials and sorrows." We have to be ready to face them when they come. We'll need the endurance to push through them and wisdom on how to handle them so we can continue to fulfill God's purpose and calling in our lives. Let's take a look at how Catherine dealt with the injustices she faced at work each day.
Ruth.
Yes, sir.
Give me the cape on the line. Shepherd's trajectories need to be updated. Wow. Where is she?
You and I are different from each other. Shadow, I'm the number, I see numbers. Black and white, we're the futures, I am colored. Don't act like you were there when you wasn't. I don't want no free ride.
Everywhere I look, you're not where I need you to be.
We're T-minus zero here. I put a lot of faith in you.
There's no bathroom for me here.
What do you mean there's no bathroom for you here?
There is no bathroom. There are no colored bathrooms in this building or any building outside the West Campus, which is half a mile away. Did you know that? I have to walk to Timbuktu just to relieve myself. And I can't use one of the handy bikes. Picture that, Mr. Harrison. My uniform, skirt below my knees, my heels, and a simple string of pearls. Well, I don't own pearls. Lord knows you don't pay colored enough to afford pearls. And I work like a dog, day and night, living off a coffee from a pot none of you want to touch! So, excuse me if I have to go to the restroom a few times a day.
Plain old toilets. Go wherever you want, please. Preferably closer to your desk. Here at NASA, we all pee the same color. Paul, what's happening here?
Mr. Harrison, I would like to attend today's briefing.
Why is that?
Well, sir, the data changes so fast. The capsule changes, the weight and the landing zones are all changing every day. I do my work, you attend these briefings, I have to start over. Colonel Glenn launches in a few weeks. We don't have the man figured out yet.
Why is it she can't attend?
Because she doesn't have clearance, Al.
I cannot do my work effectively if I do not have all of the data and all of the information as soon as it's available. I need to be in that room hearing what you hear.
Pentagon briefings are not for civilians. It requires the highest clearance.
I feel like I'm the best person to present my calculations.
You're not gonna let this go, are you?
No, I am not.
And she is a woman. There is no protocol for a woman
attending
these meetings.
Okay, I get that part, Paul. But within these walls, who makes the rules?
You, sir. You are the boss. You just have to act like one, sir.
This is Catherine Goble with our Trajectory and Launch Window Division. Her work is pertinent to today's proceedings. With all due respect, our capsule's being altered daily. We're orbiting the Earth at what speed now?
17,544 miles per hour at the time the rocket delivers the capsule into low space orbit.
Okay, so we have the vehicle's speed, the launch window, and for argument's sake, the landing zone is the Bahamas. Should be enough to figure the go, no go?
Yeah, in theory, sir.
We need to be past theory at this point. We'll be able to calculate a go, no go with that information. When exactly is that going to happen? Catherine, have a go at it.
The goal point for re-entry is 2,990 miles from where we want Colonel Glenn to land. If we assume that's the Bahamas, at 17,544 miles per hour, upon re-entry, 370 feet at a descent angle of 46.56 degrees. Distance is velocity squared sine gravity squared sine 32 feet. And the distance would be 20,530,372 feet, or 2,990 miles, or 46.33 degrees. Okay, so that puts your landing zone at 5.0667 degrees north, 77.3333 degrees west, which is here. Right here. Give or take 20 square miles.
I like your numbers.
Thank you.
In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus says, "God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." God knows that we will face hard times for doing what we were created to do. Pastor Mike says this phrase often, "Your reward is in heaven." And anytime I'm faced with any sort of hardship, this phrase just rings in my head. The things we do here on earth matter. They matter to our Heavenly Father. We need to be conscious of what we spend our time doing, what we invest our money in, what we say to our children, and how we treat others. Katherine Johnson didn't let the things she went through stop her from doing what she was called to do. She persevered and even spoke up about the injustices she faced at work. Katherine sparked the much-needed change at NASA for a better work environment for women and African Americans. What is it in your life that needs to change in order for you to fulfill God's purpose? Here at New Life, we offer multiple opportunities to help you become the person you were created to be. Three of those opportunities that we encourage you to do are join a life group, serve somewhere in the church, and give generously. Any of these options might seem like a scary step to you, and I get that. But I believe these are pivotal steps in your journey to being the person God is calling you to be. In Catherine's case, she had to face injustice head on and keep working in order to fulfill her purpose. Because of her persistence and drive, she is now known for being a key part of sending the first Americans into space. Let's see how this plays out in her life.
The IBM's been spot on up to this point, John, but we'll run it again, see what it comes up with.
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you, Al. When I fly the machine.
And right now, it seems like this machine's flying me.
We're on the same page, John. Our guys are on it.
Let's get the girl to check the numbers.
The girl?
Yes, sir.
You mean Katherine?
Yes, sir. The smart one. I mean, she says they're good. I'm ready to go.
All right, we'll get into it.
Roger.
Looking for Katherine Goble.
It's Katherine Johnson now.
They need you to verify these coordinates.
All right, give us some space so to work.
As we await Colonel John Glenn.
What the devil are you doing? Are you taking a break?
Bad 14.
Katherine. Come on.
Sir, we've got pad 14 on the box.
All right, let me in there. This is Langley. We have the coordinates confirmed.
Stand by, Langley.
We can confirm the go, no-go point for re-entry is 16. point 11984 degrees latitude, minus 165.2356 degrees longitude. The launch window is a go. The landing coordinates match.
Well, that is very good news, Al. It's a little hard to trust something you can't look in the eyes.
That's right, Colonel. Catherine did manage to calculate a few decimal points further than that hunk of metal.
Well, I will take every digit you got. Be sure to thank her for me. Gentlemen, let's launch this rocket.
Good luck, Friendship 7.
Godspeed, Langley.
Roger that. Here's hoping these
landing coordinates still hold.
Approaching 16.11984.
Roger.
Approaching minus 165.2356 in 3, 2, 1.
Engaging chutes. Beautiful shoot. How are we looking, Capcom?
Your go, no go is good. Landing coordinates are spot on, 7.
Roger that, Capcom.
I have always wanted to swim in the Bahamas. Over.
John Glenn has splashed down and is being recovered.
John Glenn has splashed down safely and is being recovered by the USS NOAA.
Great job, guys.
Catherine. Nice work.
You too, Mr. Harrison.
So, you think we can get to the moon?
We're already there, sir.
Yeah.
So, there are times in life where things just seem messy and messed up, and you might feel like you have just an overwhelming feeling of just meaninglessness, and you were created not on purpose, and you have no idea what's happening in life. I'm here to tell you that all those things are wrong, because you are here for a purpose, on purpose. And that purpose is to live in a relationship with the person who created you. God created you for a purpose. See, we live in a culture, in a world right now that's quite messy. And it tries to feed us all these lies, things that we should live our life for. Follow this trend and you'll have meaning. Dedicate your entire life to working out and exercising and doing this, and all concerned about your outer appearance, and you'll be happy because that's what people want. Or maybe for you, it's you've heard work your entire young life so hard, save up X amount of money until you get to this age, and then you can retire, and then your life starts. Or maybe this one, maybe for some of you younger people, live your best life. Live your best life. You do you, boo. That just enforces just self-adoration and things all about ourselves. See, our culture is very driven by money. It's driven by self-adoration and greed. And to be honest, the life that we live here on earth is short. It's super short. In fact, in James chapter 4, James says, your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a moment and then gone the next. That's what our life here on earth amounts to, is a moment, a morning fog. I know we don't see that much around here, but it's short. It's a short time. And so if you're in this room and you have been just kind of putting off this calling that you have in your life, maybe you're in this room and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, and that is your purpose. That's your calling. He wants a relationship with you. I ask you to just stop running. Stop running from that. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret that I learned in the Bible. This is David talking in Psalms chapter 139. He says, I can never escape from your spirit.
I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hands will guide me and your strength will support me. I can ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. See, David knew you cannot run. You can run, but you can't hide. And at a certain point in your life, you get to this place where you just don't know where to turn. And if you're in this room and you are in that place, I ask you to just consider starting a relationship with Jesus, asking him, Jesus, I am tired of running. I want you in my life. I want to know the purpose you have for me, the calling you have. And so if that's you and you're ready to start that, just have a conversation with him. Ask him to just come be Lord of your life. It's that easy. It's a conversation. Now, does your life get magically no more trials, nothing? No, it just gets better. Your life gets better. Maybe you're in this room and you've never come to church, or you haven't really grown up in church, and you're like, I don't know this Jesus guy. I don't really know what you just said, but I do feel like I have no purpose. Then I invite you to just, there will be people up here after the service right up front here. If you have any questions about what purpose Jesus has to offer your life, I ask you to come start a conversation with one of us. Let us pray for you, with you, whatever.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.